Let's start with one of Kobach's issues, the issue of in-state tuition for undocumented students.
Topeka politicians have spent millions of our tax dollars giving in-state tuition rates to illegal aliens, about $4 million this year alone. I'll end in-state tuition for illegal aliens, and we'll use that money to help Kansas students.
So, Stephen, let's pick that apart. What's incorrect about that?
For starters, there's that $4 million figure. The Board of Regents looked into this, and they found it to be $2.3 million as far as tuition revenue. That's if you're charging the 670 undocumented students the out-of-state rate versus the in-state rate. But that rate is sometimes two or three times higher. Many of these students aren't eligible for federal student aid. So there's a question about whether they could even afford to stay enrolled. There would be more tuition dollars that were generated, assuming that they would all stay and they would pay this higher amount. But the thing is, you got to look at how universities are actually trying to raise more money, and that is through enrollment, increasing enrollment. And they're doing that by charging the in-state rate to out-of-state students. For students in Texas, students across the Midwest, they see more value in having students in the classroom paying that rate. Every student they lose, including undocumented students paying the in-state rate, that has the potential to hurt them financially.
Okay, well, sticking with Kobach for a moment, Celia, he's been critical of Governor Jeff Collier for signing the bill that increased funding for public schools, K-12 schools, by about $530 million over 5 years. He says he would have vetoed that bill because he contends districts across the state have been wasting money on what he calls, on a lot of things, but among other things, what he calls Taj Mahal buildings.
You will see administrative buildings that look like Fortune 500 companies. There's one in Shawnee Mission. People call it the Crystal Palace. I think it was $23 million. It looks like a corporate headquarters. I have no idea what those people are doing in there.
That building in Shawnee Mission cost more than $32 million, not $24 million. But it was maybe not his best choice to pick on Shawnee Mission for that building, because that building is actually entirely locally funded with local taxpayer money. So it's not state taxpayer money involved in that particular one. It also turns out that that isn't really just an administrative building. About half of it is being used for students from the district's five high schools to go to career preparation classes in engineering, biotechnology, things like that.
So he just picked a bad example?
Yeah, he maybe just picked a bad example. Certainly, it is true that the amount of money that schools are spending on building has increased, and that does mean that the state, that taxpayers, not just locally, but also statewide, are on the hook for more money. A decade ago, schools had about $3.4 billion in bond debt. Today, they have about $5.5 billion.
Okay, we'll come back to Kobach in a bit, but for now, Stephen, let's check in with the Democrats. Frontrunners Laura Kelly and Josh Swatty have been attacking each other's records on guns, right?
Right, and it's mostly been Josh Swatty that's been the one that's on the offensive. He's particularly been attacking Laura Kelly on this constitutional carry bill that she sponsored in 2015. This bill is what allows, in some cases, people to conceal and carry a weapon without a concealed carry permit. Here's Swatty going after Kelly on this on Wichita debate.
We should have stopped this when we had the chance at 2015, and we needed Democrats that knew that then and knew enough to stand up and say no.
Kelly has since said that she thinks that bill went too far, that law went too far.
So they are accurately describing each other's records. There's no misstatement there.
Yes, they might be missing a little context. Josh Swatty, when he was in legislature, him and Laura Kelly were basically voting together in favor of gun rights. Kelly has recently changed and started voting for more gun control, but it's important the context of this constitutional carry bill. It is what Swatty's been attacking, and it is the really important one from 2015. It's what led to things like guns on college campuses.
Jim, of course, you follow the Medicaid issue really closely. Can we talk a little bit about some of the claims that are being made there?
Well, we'll talk a little bit about Governor Jeff Collier here. CanCare is the name given to the state's Medicaid program when it was privatized by Governor Brownback and Lieutenant Governor Collier in 2013. And Collier is now claiming that handing over the day-to-day operations has saved the state a big chunk of money.
I want you to listen to this number, $2 billion. That's $2 billion. That's what we saved Kansas taxpayers by reforming Medicaid, according to an independent study.
The independent study Collier's talking about was paid for by the managed care companies that hold the CanCare contracts. It said that CanCare had reduced the projected growth in Medicaid costs by $1.7 billion, not $2 billion, so there's that. The governor rounded up a bit. But there are some other issues. A recent report by state auditors said there are so many holes in the CanCare data that it's not possible to say how much it has saved. And finally, another study, this one paid for by the Kansas Hospital Association, essentially said that if CanCare has in fact substantially trimmed Medicaid costs, it's done so by reducing services and by delaying and cutting payments to providers. So, Celia, back to schools for just a minute. As part of Kobach's argument that Kansas school districts are wasting money, he's made some claims about the emphasis they placed on hiring administrators over teachers.
Over the past 20 years, I'll try to remember the numbers exactly. I think the number of teachers in the state has increased 16%, the number of administrators, 38%.
So I have repeatedly asked Kobach's campaign where they got this information, how they calculated this, how they defined administrators, but I haven't gotten a response. So I've tried calculating a few different ways with data from the state education department. As best as I can tell, the number of teachers is up 11% over the past 20 years. Administrators is interesting. So there are fewer superintendents and principals, kind of those classic positions, than 20 years ago because schools and school districts keep closing. But there are a lot more directors, supervisors, managers than there were 20 years ago. And that looks like it's grown about 25%.
Okay, so what do those numbers really tell us about the underlying question here about whether districts are wasting money on administration that should be going into the classroom?
Whether, you know, some school districts are over-administrating or doing a very good job with finding kind of the exact sweet spot of the right amount of administration you need for federal requirements, et cetera, I think that would take further digging.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these positions have very specific purposes. So, for example, special education directors, well, they're directing a program with a lot of federal requirements.
Thank you, Celia Yopis-Jepson and Stephen Basaha. I appreciate your careful coverage of the candidates and their campaigns in this primary, and look forward to seeing you back here for another Set the Record Straight conversation just before the general election, which I'll remind our listeners will be on November 6th.